الهي على فلاهي على
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite as salawat. We've been discussing some of the concepts that are inshallah going to be beneficial to us gaining the ability to abstain from sin. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us that the reason, or one of the main reasons, why fasting is an obligation in this noble month of Ramadan is that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become those who practice taqwa, who are God-wary, which represents itself in practice as abstaining from sin. We said we want to go over some of the concepts that will be beneficial in helping us do so. In doing so, we started to talk about some of the sins and the effects that they have on us. As Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi has been quoted to have said, people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a good number of them, of course he doesn't state this in that saying, but a lot of people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of fear. That's a good worship. It's not as good as worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we see and realize that He is worthy of worship. However, we can't fake that. We can't all of a sudden wake up in the morning and say that from now on I'm going to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship and I'm going to worship Him because of that. No. It comes step by step, the same way that a child does not at the beginning understand why education is so important. They don't understand many things. We as children, if we remember our own childhood, there were a lot of things that were said to us that we didn't understand and we didn't do it. We refrained from things that we were told to because we were fearful of our parents. Then when we grew up a bit more, we understood the benefit of certain things. That's why we started pursuing them. And then we may grow beyond that as well. So it starts at this level. Most of us, myself and many others, what keeps us from committing sins is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said, of course, that that fear exists all the way to the end. People at the highest level still talk about taqwa. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi talks about his fear of God in many of the du'as and supplications. Imam al-Sajjad, in the du'as, one of the du'as that's very, very beneficial and recommended, after midnight, the sahar, right, before fajr time, is dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. Try to recite this dua and try to pay attention to the meaning of it. There's a lot of reminders that we find in this dua. So we were talking yesterday about some of the effects of bad and foul language. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises this. Ghadab, the word wrath or ghadab is used regarding a person that has a tongue and a language that is foul and ugly. Even if it's used sometimes Even if it's when we are angry, even if it is when we are upset at someone, legitimately so, we don't have the right to use that type of language. Even if we don't use it regarding anyone, we just say those words, which is very common, unfortunately, these days out here for a good number of people and for the youth. They hear it all the time. Said that there's a lot of ahadith describing the effects, one of them being the ghadab and the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was one hadith that remained, and we said, we promised to read that today, and we'll continue with the discussion after that. This hadith is from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi. He says, كَانَ فِي بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ رَجُلٌ دعا الله أن يرزقه غلاما ثلاث سنين. There's a man in Bani Israel. We see in our hadith a lot of times reference is given to people of Bani Israel. There's a lot of stories that we've been taught in the Holy Quran and also in the ahadith regarding these people. It says there's an individual that was calling on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking him for 3 whole years. For a request, and that was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a child, a son. After the 3rd year, he saw that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not answering his prayer. He turned to Allah and said these words. He said, Ya Rab, aba'idun ana minka fala tasma'uni. Am I far away from you that you don't hear me? I need to raise my voice for you to hear me. Am qareebun anta minni fala tujibuni. Or is it that you are close, you do hear, there's no problem in the communication part, but you don't want to answer my call. Which one is it? When he said these words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with some guidance. فَأَتَاهُ آتٍ فِي مَنَامِهِ. Someone came in his dreams. A lot of the dreams that we see are nonsense. They're not really anything. Whether it's men or women, doesn't make a difference. There's this misconception that dreams seen by women are like that. No, it doesn't make a difference. Most of the dreams that we see are nonsense. Okay, a lot of it's like that. It doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any effect. But some of it is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of it could have other reasons behind it. It says someone came in his dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent someone to tell him, فَقَالْ إِنَّكَ تَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مُنْذُ 3 سَنِينَ بِلِسَانٍ بَذِيئًا. So you've been calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've been asking him for 3 whole years, but there was a barrier, and that is you used the tongue that is filthy. It's been using foul language. The dua, the request from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the call upon Allah that is using a tongue that is badi', that is filthy, that uses ugly words, that dua in a sense is not heard. It's not accepted. There's a couple of other things in the hadith I'm going to skip. There's a couple of other problems. I mentioned one of them last year. But this is one major problem that the hadith mentions is the problem. The person removed them in the 4th year. As soon as that problem was removed, the prayer was answered and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him a child. How many prayers, how many times has it been that we've had serious concerns and we've had prayers upon prayers, tawassulat, we've given charity, we've done loads of things for things that we've requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many years, we don't see any result. One of the reasons is sin. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me explain this a bit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, after the verses that talk about fasting, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. If my servants ask you about me, tell them I am near, and I answer the call of anyone that calls upon me. The verse says that. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. You call me, I will answer your call. You request something, I will answer that. Then the question comes up then, why is it that sometimes du'as are not accepted? I mean, that's a promise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way is making. We need to understand why and how this works. If you refer to du'a al-kumail, a du'a that we always recite, and hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens our eyes and gives us insight into this du'a. Some of the passages after asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His names is Allahumma ghafir liyadhunuba allati tahbisu ad-du'a. O Allah, I ask you to forgive me of the sins that tahbisu ad-du'a. They prevent, they become a barrier. They prevent from that call, from that du'a, from ascending. Well, this explains that there's certain things that we do that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to answer our calls. But the verse said, if you call me, it doesn't set any conditions. How is it, as the person asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after 3 years, أَبَعِيدٌ أَنَا مِنْكَ فَلَا تَسْمَعْنِي. What happens? You don't hear me anymore? Some of the du'as refer to this concept as the du'a not being heard. Some of them talk about it, as I said, in du'a al-kumail, tahbisu du'a. Habs means to isolate it, to put it in prison, basically. Don't allow it to go where it wishes, where it's supposed to go, to ascend, as we say, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there a problem, like when we have bad language, as this hadith mentioned, that these words are not going to ascend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hear it? There's a good explanation that one of the ulama has given for this, how this happens. Recite a salawat, please. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're gonna say, what I will say, what I request, what you request, before we even think about it. He knows what we're gonna be requesting. While we're doing it, He knows exactly what we are saying, what is in our mind, how sincere our intentions are. A lot of times when we raise our hands, we say, Allahumma ghafir liyadhunuba allati filan, or I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something in qunut. These Arabic words that we don't understand. We don't even realize what we're saying. The intention isn't there. There's this funny story in Iran during the after the revolution. There was this idea that, you know, this stands for peace maybe sometimes here, but over there it sounded standard for victory. So there was this camera going around, people were praying, they were in qunut, and this guy did like this. I don't know, he was trying to pose for the camera. Sometimes in our qunut, we're really not paying attention to what we're saying. Okay. Our mind is somewhere else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how sincere we are, how really we are asking, and when is it that we're just faking and we're just saying these words. So when we are sincere, we are desperate, we're actually asking Him for something, He knows it. It's not like He doesn't understand. It's not like, it's like there's veils between us and Him that He can't see through. There's veils that we can't see through. He can see through everything. Hear through everything. That's not the problem. So what does this mean? He hears it, but He doesn't answer it. But the verse said, if you ask me, if you call upon me, I'm going to answer that. How does that work? One of the ulama gave a very interesting explanation that explains the reality and the depth of the concept of shafa'a as well. Sometimes what we ask for, because of our own deeds, it's not possible for us to receive that blessing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Not that it's not possible in the sense that, you know, there's, you know, God's power doesn't work that way. God and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful, but He has designed the system based on wisdom. If something is bad and something is wrong, He's not going to do it. He has the power to do it, but He's never going to do anything that's wrong. Through our actions, what we do, we disqualify ourselves from being eligible for receiving that blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we do. This sin of the tongue, which there's plenty of, this tongue is the body part that most of these sins are committed through. Backbiting, slander, disrespecting others, making fun of others, and you name it, kufr billah, these words that come out of our mouth, a lot of it is sin. This disqualifies us from being able to receive the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's all powerful, but we're disqualified. If we want to remove this veil, if we want to be able to receive these blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've got to avoid sin. Once you avoid sin, then the only obstacle that's between you and I in receiving what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that what we've asked for is actually harmful for us. That's the only reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wouldn't give us that. If a believer asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, I like this really nice BMW and I really want it, okay, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may not give it to me. Not because I've committed sin, I may be a very pious person. Maybe it's one of you guys, not me. It's a very pious person. They're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, if this person receives this blessing, it's going to cause them to move away from Him, and it's going to cause them eternal punishment. So it's actually best that this person doesn't receive that blessing. It says that on the day of judgment, when a believer realizes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them in return for all the prayers or for any prayer that was not answered in the sense that they weren't given what they requested in this world, when they see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them in the hereafter in return from it, they wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never answered any of their prayers in this world. Okay, so it's kept there, it's reserved. But sins, brothers and sisters, are what cause us not to be eligible to receive blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times has it been that we've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've sincerely felt a great need, we've felt desperate, there'd been no one that could help us. I know a lot of the youth, I hear, you know, a lot of them speak to me, they have a problem with getting married. First, it's the parents that don't allow it. Then after the parents are okay with it, then it's finding the person. It takes so long, you don't find the right person a lot of times. Sometimes people get married, afterwards they wish they never got married because they didn't find the right person. Of course, there's a lot of jokes going around about that. But no, sincerely, this happens a lot. All these years, sometimes people have prayed for 5-6 years constantly. Dua, tawassul, ziyarat, ashura, this imam, that imam. They've gone to all the ziyarats, and the main concern that they've had was that. And their parents are praying for them, everything, all of that is there. But the prayer is not being answered. Always, we should know, you know, there's no problem with God. He doesn't have a problem. He's all powerful, He's all knowledgeable, He's all merciful, all that's there. So there's no problem there. There's got to be a problem here. We've got to realize that. The problem is right here. I know a brother was telling me, he was praying for maybe 5-6 years at least to find a spouse. One of those, this is a really important dua, by the way. A very, very important dua. Because marriage can either make you or break you. It's such an important event in our life. This person was praying for over 5 years, sincerely, going to mashhad, to ziyarat, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, really, really crying, shedding tears for it, which rightfully so, it deserves that. But nothing was happening. Nothing was happening. Until one of the ulama, he was able to make it to his sessions, and constantly that alim would tell him, look, if you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no way except that you avoid sin completely. There's nothing else that's gonna keep you or get you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another thing is that prayers are only going to be guaranteed and they're going to be responded to if you avoid sin. Now we always say that, avoiding sin, we're trying, it slipped, I'm sorry, we repent, all of that. But the only guarantee is when you're actually able to manage to not commit any sins. There were a few sins that this brother said he had problems with trying to avoid. When he was able to refrain from them, it didn't take but a month or two to get married. Just a month or two. And very quickly. Unbelievably quick. If we refrain from sins, that's when du'as are seriously going to be answered quick, if they are beneficial for us. So, this is a general concept. There are many of these sins that have this effect. Since we needed to talk about this sin of having and using foul language, which is a problem a lot of us have, and a lot of times I feel we haven't emphasized of how ugly this sin is, how bad it is, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats it, so I decided to talk about that individually for that session and the beginning of this session. But generally speaking, many of the sins have got this effect. Sin in general has got this effect. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, not that He is not powerful, but it disqualifies us. Now, we talked about a few of the sins specifically and some of the effects that they had. I want to continue on the path of trying to talk about some of the general effects of sin. One of them being what I just finished. But there's a few of them that I want to talk about a little more to try to hopefully bring about that khawf, that the fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Quran tells us believers have got to have that in order to be able to get closer to Him. Alaykum as-salam. Recite a salawat, please. I'll start with what I think is the most devastating effect of sin in this dunya. There's effects that sin has in the dunya. We talked about some of them in regards to music, for example. We talked about that. About backbiting, we talked about that. About having foul language, using foul language, we talked about that. Prayers not being answered, that's in this dunya. There's certain effects that happen in this dunya. There's certain effects of the sin at the point of death. There's certain effects of sin after death in barzakh. There's effects on the day of judgment. And then there's effects after the day of judgment. Let's start with what I consider the most devastating effect of sin, and I think you would agree with me. One of the verses of the Holy Quran is the following: أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ ثُمَّ كَانَ عَاقِبَةَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُ السُّوءَ أَنْ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The end result of people who did misdeeds, did things that were wrong, practiced things that were wrong, the end result of them was that they reached a stage that they started denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's signs. Now this is considered a sin as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive, cannot forgive the sin of shirk, anyone that has shirk towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk is when people and when a person believes in Allah but also believes that there's other deities as well. That's called shirk. So if a person doesn't even believe in God, that's much worse. Shirk is something that cannot be forgiven. Anything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He's forgiving. So shirk itself, disbelief, denial of divine signs, is itself a sin. However, the caliber of that sin is completely different. As I said, this verse, now we don't have too much time to discuss this, but this verse, sometimes people have a misunderstanding regarding this and thinking that, well, wait a second, isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to forgive people if they repent? Of course, obviously. Well, this verse says that he doesn't forgive shirk. Well, all those believers at the beginning of Islam were all mushrik, then they accepted Islam. No, this verse is about the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hereafter, this sin of shirk is unforgivable. But any other sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive for whoever He wishes. Now, I'm saying that disbelief is itself a sin, but it's a completely different sin. This verse says these practical sins, lying, stealing, backbiting, harming others, not respecting other people's rights, using foul language, all these other sins that we have, the result of this is going to be that you will lose faith completely. You will deny the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know who Ayatullah al-Uzma in the real sense of the word is? Not this title that we use these days for ulama. It's not wrong to use it for ulama. We don't have anything that says we can't use that. However, if we want to find a real example of al-ayatullah or al-ayatullah al-uzma, okay, the greatest signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the Holy Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt. Amirul Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, we have hadith that he is ayatullah al-uzma, the great sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says, look, you know how you have this love for the Ahlul Bayt, you believe in the Ahlul Bayt, you think that you're going to be giving your life when the Imam of the time comes, you're willing to do that? Well, guess again, if you're committing sins, that's not necessarily going to happen. You have all this wishful thinking, but you could be like the people of Kufa. Some of them that went there, they were in the army that went against Imam Hussein. They liked him. They supposedly liked him, to an extent at least. But the ability to come out there and join the army, even if they didn't kill anybody, just coming, not helping Imam Hussein, that itself is great enough sin. That's the denial of a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But beyond that, coming and participating in the army that is fighting Imam al-Hussein, we could be the same. We could be even worse. We could be, God forbid, the ones that issue fatwas against the Imam of our time. Or distribute the fatwas against the Imam of our time and say, that's not the Imam. This is the most devastating effect of sin in this world. If this happens, then that's it. And the hereafter, there's no hope for us. No hope, absolutely. The next effect is about death. We have a lot of ahadith that emphasize the importance of reminding ourselves of death. We have hadith, go to the cemeteries, spend time there. Especially, you know, this is a very important Islamic culture that I'm pretty sure it is not practiced at least often by people over here. Any of us could be passing away at any time, and we could be lying there and no one comes and visits us and asks for our forgiveness, does a Fatiha for us. Paying visits to the graveyard, to the cemetery, visiting the graves of the believers is a very, very important Islamic culture that we've got to uphold. Part of the reason why that's so important, other than the benefit that the deceased are going to receive, is for ourselves. Remember death. Look at Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali. On a few passages, the Imam says or reminds himself of death. Why shouldn't I cry? I cry for the moment of death. I cry for the moment that my own relatives are going to be moving me about and I will not have control over my body to move myself. I'm going to be dropped, thrown around. They will be washing my body. Then they will put me in the grave and start all these friends of mine and family members are going to start throwing dirt on me and leave me. He describes that multiple occasions because it's very important in our growth and our spiritual growth. Now, fear of death is something that all people have. Everybody fears death. However, there's two different forms of fear of death. One fear of death, one form of it, is not only not beneficial, it's actually harmful. And that fear of death is because we don't believe in anything beyond that. We consider that the end. When you consider it the end, you just don't want to be reminded. Okay, it's this world, as the verses of the Holy Quran quote the mushrikeen. It's this world and nothing beyond it. That's it. So I don't want to be reminded of a time that this is going to come to an end. Every time I realize that or I remember that, I just want to find some alcohol, something to just make me forget about it. That's what people do. That's what it causes them to do. They don't want to be reminded. Anything comes on TV that reminds them of death? No. Get that out of there. Any signs of death? The person is old, very old. They just don't want to hear anything about that. They still think that they're going to live for another 100 years. Look, death is a reality. Al-mawta haqq. It's a truth, it's a reality. And that's how this world has been designed. That form of remembrance of death is completely useless at best, if not devastating and harmful. But the remembrance of death that is useful and beneficial is to know that death is the beginning of actual life. إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَاهُ. The dunya is just a game. وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. Real life, true life is the hereafter. It's the beginning of it. But the way that life is going to begin and continue depends on what you have done in this world. That's how it's going to be helpful. Now, the effects of sin on death. First of all, as I said, remembrance of death. I don't want to expand on this any longer. Remembrance of death itself is a factor that helps us avoid sin. In Dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, Imam al-Sajjad salamullah alayhi says that, how can I not be fearful if I get that part of it right from what I remember of the wording? And the wings of death, or death is like a hawk, okay, like an eagle, just gliding right above my head and waiting for the time, and I don't know when that is, and it's going to come, and I have no control over that. It could happen any second. Age does not matter. Let's get this out of our head. I could die right now while I'm talking. Hasn't it happened? People have died in very, very bad circumstances where they couldn't have, like some of the worst circumstances. But they would have never thought something like that would have happened. It could happen at any time. God forbid if that happens while we're in the middle of committing sins. The angel of death wants to come and take our life. If we keep that in here, because it's a reality, it could happen. How many people have died because of alcohol, committing a sin? How many people have died in car accidents partying in the car with people that they're not supposed to be around? It happens. That remembrance itself is going to help us, inshallah, to try to avoid sin. There's effects that sin has on death that are scary as well, that inshallah we'll try to talk about tomorrow if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the nobility of this month, by Amirul Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi, the Shaheed of this month, that he hastens the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt that he enables us, helps us, trains us to be true companions and soldiers of the Imam of our time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja and especially the leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, by the nobility of this month, and we plead to him to forgive us all of our sins. We ask him to help us to avoid sin for the rest of our life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents and all those who've taught us word in Islam of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all people in the world and all believers especially from oppressions that they are facing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide all the believers, all the mu'mineen, all the ones that are present here and throughout the globe, the hajat, the needs, what they require to live more prosperous lives, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.